as the young people will go with down the hall with Justin, we will one more time for this year open up our Bibles together and study God's Word together. I hope that, once again, I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas, and I hope that you plan on having a Happy New Year, right? If the Lord would give it to us. This is some scripture that I refer to quite a bit, just because of what's being said in these verses, Philippians chapter 3. As we come to an end of one year and begin another year, there's always traditions involved, and there's always, maybe habits that we would do every time at this year, at this point of the year, where we kind of make resolutions maybe, or we have certain kind of family gatherings, or we eat a certain type of meal superstitiously, right? Some people do, some people don't. But what I'm saying is today we have a chance to reflect on the Christian life, the kingdom of God, as we move into another season of worship and another season of service to the kingdom of God. If the Lord would give us those days, how would we live it? Now I want to think back to 2019, December. And we all were thinking about, how is 2020 going to go? Remember? It wasn't that long ago. And we all had desires. We all had some things that maybe we wanted to work on. We all had some things that we had planned, even. And we all had some dreams, possibly. Maybe we're in the middle of our lifelong plan to raise our children, be successful, retire, and be fat and happy, whatever that looks like, right? Of course, I don't have to mention how our plans were disrupted, abruptly disrupted and continuously disrupted, not even just disrupted, possibly changed permanently in some ways. Would you agree with that? So it is a stressful thing to think about, to reflect on. It is a not so pleasant thing to look back on when you're looking back at celebrating what some things may have happened like we normally would, and as we approach another year. You know, like when I was growing up, all we had was local television with the antennas and stuff. And what we would see on New Year's Eve is some kind of video that was made by the television networks about everything that happened that year. So we would all sit down and watch everything that happened throughout the year. I don't know if we really want to watch that this year. maybe it would do us some good. However, I do think that if we focus on the bad and only the bad, I believe that we probably will be setting ourselves up to be discouraged in another year. That's just my thought. So what do we do? As Christians, what do we do? Right? How do we live this Christian life? How do we serve the Lord, love people, love God, and honor Him with our lives, even when things aren't the way we like them or things aren't going according to plan? Because here's the question. What if things don't change for a while? What if things never change back to the way maybe they used to be? What if the way that things used to be are gone forever? And what would a new normal be, right? What does that say about the believer? Will it change who we are in Christ? Will it change our faith? Will we shrink back, or will we grow in Christ? Will we find new ways to be a witness? Will we enhance the ways that we've been using, right, over all of these years we've been serving God? Are there ways that we used to use to be a witness in the community that we can no longer do? And are there new ways to be found to bring the kingdom of God to light in our community? That's what we have to be asking ourselves. That's what we have to be thinking about. That's what we should be asking God for answers to. Wouldn't you all agree with that? Because I don't believe that the majority of believers around the world who have all also suffered the consequences of viruses and other issues along the way, I don't believe that the people that we read about in the book of Acts had it the same always and had it easy always and were never challenged. There's challenges when it comes to serving God. There's challenges when it comes to making disciples and standing firm for the kingdom of God in a world that doesn't seem to care much for God. In a world that seems to have challenge after challenge after challenge, right? To the point where we are so upset or so shocked or so disturbed in our routines that we can become discouraged about the things that are important to the kingdom of God if we're not careful. So here we are. Let's just read Philippians chapter 3 just a little bit, starting in verse 12. Philippians is the book of joy, by the way, in case you didn't know that. You want to find some joy, study the book of Philippians over and over again. Right? Because it talks about the joy of the Lord. It talks about things that we need to understand about how to live in that joy. Chapter 3 is all about not living in the flesh, but living in Christ. Letting Christ be the center of who we are, which we studied in the book of Colossians on our Sunday school hour, our Bible school hour. How Jesus is the center of it all, and that in Him all things can happen, and we can't really serve the Lord well without Christ. Hope you know that already. Look what it says here in verse 12. I'm in the NIV this morning. Not that I have already obtained all this meaning salvation and all spiritual growth and spiritual maturity, and what Jesus died for us to obtain and be made holy because He's holy. It's a process of sanctification, right? Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. Look what he says here. I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then finally, verse 15 and 16, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Just a small excerpt from this letter that we can focus on today. As we prepare ourselves for whatever the Lord may bring or allow to come in the future, should it be His will that we would have it, right? I want to talk about living the Christian life in a deeper way, that it's a lifetime experience and not a daily kind of sort of a spiritual paycheck to spiritual paycheck moment. You know, it's kind of like sometimes we get in this habit of living for the day and only for the day. We're not thinking about maybe what's going to happen tomorrow or what God might be doing for next week or the next year. What God might be doing in my entire life, however long that's going to be, or your entire life. We seem to be focused on the here and now so much so that whatever's going on in the here and now, whether it's great or bad or not so great, We're either on the mountain of joy or we're in the valley of doubt and sorrow because of what's happening right now. And the hard part about that is it's hard to stay faithful to what you believe, what you know you believe, when you're living with those blinders on, those spiritual blinders. It's hard to stay faithful and stand firm in who you know God is when you're not seeing the possibilities of what He's doing or not doing. Right? 12 months, in my opinion, is quite a long time for me. When I was younger, a teenager or younger, 12 months was an eternity, especially when you're 15, because you got to wait whole 12 months to start driving a car, right? And you just can't wait to get your driver's license so you can start driving a car and have some kind of freedom from the adults in your life. Then you find out you have to buy your own car, and then you're discouraged again. It's like, oh, I can't drive your car? No. That's my car. You get your own car. 12 months can be a long time, can it? How many of y'all feel like, and I don't, you answer this to yourself, you and the Lord talk about this, but how many of y'all feel like it was just yesterday you were in high school? Sometimes I do feel that way. Maybe as I get older, it might not feel that way to me, but I remember being that young like it was just yesterday. I remember thinking about, like, laying in my room in my bed just thinking about what would it be like when I'm 40 and an adult. What kind of man am I going to be? And I had all kind of dreams about that. And here we are, and this is not what I thought about at all. Praise the Lord, though, because it's great. It is what it is because the Lord has his way. Hello? So I would have never thought about spending my life, the time of my life up until now, the way that I have when I was younger. Not even close. And a lot of times, those inconsistencies in what I've dreamed of or what I thought of were inconsistent because I was living in the moment of my life only, not thinking about the future, not thinking about what's it really going to be. If I do this today, how's it going to affect me when I'm 50 or 60? If I do this today, how's it going to affect me when I get finished with high school or college or whatever the case might have been? Now, some people are really good at making plans. Some people are really good at thinking about those things. The question is, are we really good at thinking about those things in a spiritual way? When it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to what God is doing in our hearts spiritually, are we good at thinking about the kingdom work? What are we doing today that's going to benefit the kingdom tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? However long the Lord gives us to be in this world, we're to be about the Lord's business. However long he gives us, we're to be about passionately and excitingly going about making disciples and telling people that Jesus is Lord and that he loves them and that he wants them to be with him. Somebody told you, somewhere along the way, somebody told you if you're saved, somebody told you that Jesus is the Christ and that Jesus loves you and that you should consider giving your life to him because he died for you on the cross. Somebody told you that. And they must have told it to you in a way that was convincing enough, or at least gave you the desire in your heart to consider it. Or maybe they told it to you in a way that made you really want Jesus in a bad way, in a good way, in an exciting way. Can't wait to get saved kind of way, right? Some people grew up in Christ. Some people grew up knowing Jesus is the Lord. And then when they came of age, they were able to make a decision somewhat easily because it makes sense. Because they saw it in their family. Verse 12, as we look at verse 12 and break this down a little bit, he says this, I've not fully grown yet. I haven't obtained everything that Jesus died for. I'm a work in progress. Sometimes a work in progress sometimes involves some suffering. Sometimes involves some hardship. There's been times when I've wished and prayed that God would take away some of the memories of the things that I've done to offend him over my life because I'm not proud of them. And every time he reminds me that he leaves those memories there so that I won't return, so that I'll know what I'm saved from. Sometimes I pray that he would take away the memories of some of the sufferings that weren't sinful things, just the sufferings of just existing in a world that's full of suffering. We all suffer, not because we're bad people sometimes, just because we live in a world where there's suffering. And why won't God take away the suffering? And then I study the book of Romans, and it tells me, if I didn't suffer, how would I know who God is? If I didn't suffer, how would I know how good He is to me? Well, somebody might say to me, well, I suffer just as much as you, and God didn't take it away from me. Well, God hasn't taken all my suffering, just so you know. But He's shown Himself to me in the middle of my suffering. Every time. Every time. How would I know how great He is if I didn't suffer? If I didn't have hardship? If I didn't have challenges in life? He says, I haven't already obtained this. I'm not perfect. He said, I press on and take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. For which Christ, in other words, Jesus died on the cross so that I can be made holy through Christ. So that we can be made. Anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ repents. And by faith they're saved. Repents and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Jack chapter 2. The only way that you don't win as a believer is if you quit. Hello? The only way that we lose as men and women of God is if we quit believing. Just give it up. And here He is telling the believers, just press on. Just keep moving forward. Continue to move forward. Don't quit. Sometimes you can't move forward. It just seems like you can't move forward because you can't see where you're going. You can't see what God's doing. You don't understand what's happening. There's so much stress, so much anxiety, so much problems in your life that you just can't see which way to go. But let me just remind you that we are people of faith. And sometimes we just take a step and depend on the Lord to lead us. And God is okay with us taking a wrong step as long as we're paying attention when He says, no, not that way, let's go this way. And we have an opportunity to say, okay, and we take a different step. And until He says, yes, keep moving that direction. Keep going. We're going to make it. When He says to press on, when you're pressing on, it's not a casual stroll, is it? When you're pressing into something or you're exerting some energy to move forward because there's resistance in the Christian life. There is always going to be resistance. And let me just admit this to you, and maybe you're the same, maybe I'm the only one, but most of the resistance to my spiritual growth comes from self. Right? And it's hard to fight self because I love self. And I don't want to fight self. But sometimes self doesn't honor God. Sometimes self doesn't help me make disciples. Sometimes self doesn't want to press on. Sometimes Satan will take self and make friends, and then we get into sin that way. Make sense? But He's saying, no, take courage, press on, just keep moving forward. Today we got to make disciples. Today we have to love people the way Jesus loved us. Today we have to honor God by the way that we live our lives. Whether we're shut down in our homes or whether we're free to roam about the world, we have to press on. And I think if any believer in this world has been paying attention in 2020, there were moments where we got discouraged about that. Because we're living in times that are we've never seen before. We've never experienced the hardship that comes with this kind of suffering, of hardship, discomfort. There's a lot of people, you guys will agree with me, there's a lot of people living in the world today, around the world, that are suffering way more than we'll ever suffer. Right? Yet we struggle. And I'm not saying that we should feel guilty for having spiritual issues or even mental issues or emotional issues because of whatever suffering we've been going through lately. I'm just saying if we quit, we lose. If we stop loving God, we lose. If we stop loving people, we lose. If we stop standing firm in the faith, then we lose. We have to press on. How do we do that? Look at verse 13. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We have a promise from God. We cannot lose if we just stay faithful. Once again, we see words like straining ahead, exerting some energy. It's not going to be easy. It's not always. Sometimes it's easy, right? Sometimes it's easy to be the witness and be the Christian in the world. But many times it's hard. Many times it's just easier to step back out of the crowd and just stay silent and let the world do what the world does. And convince ourselves that we're true to our commitment. Because it's too scary or too hard, or we might have kickback, or we might have some persecution along the way. Or it just means we have to be uncomfortable around people. You know, memories, how many of y'all like memories? Family memories. Y'all like, people are like, take pictures and you hang pictures up on the wall of your family. And some people like to send this Christmas letter around every year about the history of your family, what happened all year, and here's what's going on at our house. And that's great. And I like memories as well. And it's good to sit around with family members and friends and church people and you remember the way it used to be. And you remember so-and-so who's no longer with us. We remember how the Lord did this in our lives or in our church and whatever. And it's great, isn't it? And it keeps us encouraged. I think we should keep doing those things. But I also know that sometimes we sit around and we sometimes lament about the way it used to be and how it isn't that way anymore. We seem to be stuck at a speed bump of life that we had trouble getting over and maybe never got over. And sometimes we allow whatever that situation is to totally destroy us spiritually, mentally, and even sometimes physically, because we're just stuck there and our life is just moving on and we never keep up with it because we're stuck in that tragic situation or that hard moment of life or that disappointment or whatever it is that happened or whatever series of things that may have happened. Even for the believer, that can be. Even for the believer, we can get stuck in a moment of time that is so traumatic or so hard or so disappointing that we just stay looking at it and wishing it would be different. I don't know how many Alabama football games I wish were different. But watching the game over and over and over again ain't going to change the score, is it? It's just the way life is. And we know it. It's just hard. But we are people who believe that Jesus is the Christ. We are people who believe that this is not our home and this is not a permanent thing for us. And that we believe that one day we will be with the Lord and all of this will be over. That's what we believe. So why would we not live our lives committed to that way? How do we do it? We stay focused ahead. We keep looking forward. We don't turn around and dwell on the things of the past. I'm not saying totally forget everything. I'm not saying ignore life and don't participate. I'm saying acknowledge what it is. If we have trouble with it, ask God for the help that we need and press on. If anybody in this room, if we could just hit a reset button for this last year, I think we'd all run to the button and hit it, wouldn't we? If we could do it over and make it different, we would do it. But if the Lord gives us another year, we have an opportunity to do it better. Even if we did it great, we have an opportunity to do it better, don't we? Because here's what I think about this year versus the next year coming. We know what it's going to be like now. Even if it never changes. If it doesn't change, we get another year with the problems that we had this year. Okay, I've ridden this bicycle. Right? Let's get a little speed up now. Let's do it different. Let's adapt. Let's ask God what to do. And let's do it. I think a lot of churches did great dealing with the troubles of 2020. I think a lot of believers did great dealing with the troubles of 2020. You and God know where you are and what's gone on. And I would say, if maybe we didn't do so great, maybe you didn't do so great, maybe if we think that, let's acknowledge it, ask the Lord for help, and then move on. Press on. Let's go forward. Let's be about the Lord's business. There's a harvest, and it's ripe. And if people are not looking for God right now, I don't know when they ever would be looking for God. Is it possible to forget all the troubles? No. Does God want you to forget all your troubles? I don't think so. I think he just means let's not dwell in the troubles. We're people who believe that Jesus is the Christ, and if we're forgiven by his shed blood on the cross, then we have Christ in our hearts. We're in Christ. We are to live in Christ. And the best thing about being with the Lord for eternity is none of these troubles are there. I can't even imagine that sometimes, what it would be like to not have worries or troubles in your heart. And sometimes, and this is kind of a funny thing, sometimes I get kind of concerned that if I'm in the presence of God one day, finally, will I worry about not having something to worry about? Because I know how I am. I'm getting better, y'all. Let's look at verse 16 finally. This is the key right here, y'all. And I hope this is encouraging to you, and I hope this kind of gives you a little bit of a boost into whatever the Lord would have us do for 2021, should we have that given to us. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. What have we already attained? Yes. Amen. Thank y'all. By the blood of Christ, by his sacrifice on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, and your faith in that, your repentance, baptism, forgiveness of your sins, all of that stuff, you have Christ. You already have Christ in you. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the fruit of your faith. We have the Word of God right here. We have everything we need to press on. We have everything we need so that we don't feel a need to look back. We just press on. You know, I've used this particular part of Scripture to help me as I've grown as a believer since I was saved, and I've learned about the Lord, and me and the Lord have developed this relationship that we have, which is so awesome. And the person I am today is not the person I was before I was saved at all. I was the person who would dwell in the problems of life year after year after year. I was the person who felt like every bad thing or every challenge was the end of the world for me. And why do I have to fail all the time? And now I look back at all of those problems, and they were nothing in the bigger picture of things. Right? They were nothing. And I learned that every time there was a major issue in my life, 5 or 6 years down the road, it wasn't there anymore. Because it was replaced by some other major issues in life. Right? Oh, I wish I could get back some of the days that I spent worrying about problems. And use them for something. Use that time for something else. I wish I would have known God back then. It's not because he didn't present himself to me. It's because I wasn't paying attention. But had I known the Lord as a younger man, maybe I would have dealt with my stressful life in a different way. So I remember. What would the Lord have me do? When life hits, when things go wrong, or things aren't the way we planned. When my son was born in 1990, I had already bought him a race car, and I had already painted that thing, and it was the same number as mine except for one off. Had his name on the door just like mine did. And we were going to race cars together. That was my plan. That's what every father's plan is. Whatever the father likes to do, he plans for his son to go and do those things with him. and raise him up and to be like him, because sons want to be like their father. And then he was born with his disability. This brittle bone disease. There's no way in the world that that boy was ever going to drive a race car. But we got through it. And life is good. And he did some great things. Because my plans are my plans, but they're not God's plans. And there's nothing wrong with making plans. There's nothing wrong with being a dreamer with your life. But we have to make room for God's plans. Because if we don't make room for God's plans, we will never be able to press on when plans change, when the world changes our lives. We will never be able to make disciples. We will never be able to honor God if we're not ready to adjust to the plans that he allows to change. And looking back, I would have it no other way as far as my son is concerned. I wouldn't change a thing, because that's God's plan. And we touched more people through his life than we ever would have if we were racing cars together. Right? So, all I'm saying is life is short. We're not guaranteed another year. Even though we're approaching a new year on our calendars, our calendars are man-made. Our clocks are man-made. And if we're really wanting to grow in our spiritual lives and wanting to honor God with the way that we live these lives, if we're wanting to press on, forgetting what's behind and making disciples, if we're really wanting to do that, then we will get on God's time. And we will recognize that living in our time is great. Our plans, our calendars, our clocks, our schedules. But if we're always ready to adjust to God's plans and God's schedule, we would be better off and we will be able to press on. Press on. Continue to make disciples. Continue to love God. Continue to serve the Lord well. Because one day, you and I will be standing before him. And we will answer for the way that we lived our lives. We will answer for the way that we adjusted to the things that go on in this world. We will answer for the way that we were able to submit to his will after saying the Lord's Prayer, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's one of the biggest lessons I've ever had to learn, was not throwing a fit every time God changed my plans. Just being honest. Finding out that when he does change my plans, he knows better, and I'm starting to trust him a little bit more every time. He must have something better going on than I have, otherwise he wouldn't have changed the plans. You ever wonder why God doesn't tell you the whole plan all at once? Think about it. Why doesn't God just lay it out there for your life? How come God doesn't just say, here's what your life is about, and here's how it's going to end, and here's how you're going to honor me? I think two reasons. One, because it's not as exciting that way. And two, because for me, at least, if he told me the whole plan, I would tell him how to change it and how I could do it better, or he should do it different, or whatever. I'm on a no basis with God, and so are the rest of us. So as we approach another year, I pray blessings on you all in your homes and here in the church, and I pray blessings on your witness for Christ. Because if he should give us another year, we should strive to honor him. We should press on. We should lean into it. We should strive to make disciples. However which way the Lord leads us to do it. Sometimes in the face of adversity, sometimes in the face of persecution. Sometimes it's just as easy as being a good neighbor. Right? I love you and the Lord loves you. If you don't know the Lord, if you're not saved, I think you just heard most of what I had to say had to do with being saved. Just believe that Jesus is the Christ. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and he'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. we're going to sing today, and if you have to make that choice, or if you're online and you have to make that choice, call up here, come over here, track us down. Somebody can help you with that. If you're here, just come forward, and we'll take care of it. Let's sing together, and then we'll be dismissed.